got this thing turned on now, so it should be good. And if you would, turn to Exodus 3, 1 and 4. And in just a second, I'll read that to get us started into what I'm going to be talking about. And we're going to be talking about Moses. He said, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of a desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. When Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.'" And that's when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He called him to the task of leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The excuse of Moses and God's response to them will serve as the basis for our study. As God's people today, we have received from God a special calling. We don't have to go get the people in Egypt, but we got a world to deliver those in bondage of sin. And that's in March 16, 15. It said, "And he said to them, 'Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" And then 1 Peter 2, 9-10. "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, and that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light." Too often, though we behave just like Moses, making the very same excuses. Now that we know that we're going to see what Moses did, we are now ready to consider the first of five excuses given by Moses. Who am I? You'll find that in Exodus 3:11. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' And though Moses was once a member of the ruling house of Egypt, he was now but a lowly shepherd. 40 years had passed since he had been in Egypt, and he was an 80-year-old man, already past the average age span for his generation. And he was wondering if he was the right man for the job. I think sometimes we ask that same question, if we're the right man for the job. God's response was quick and should have been adequate. "I will certainly be with you." And that's found in Exodus 3:12. "So he said, 'I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" God's promise to be with him, to be with Moses, and this alone should have been sufficient. As Paul wrote, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And that's in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to those things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Some use the same excuse today, trying to excuse ourselves by believing that we are insufficient for the task that was myself. It is true that by ourselves that we are insufficient, but God can make us sufficient. And that's in 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being ourselves, but our sufficient is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And look what he did with the apostles. Uneducated and untrained men. And that's in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Through Jesus, God has provided us the same assurance given Moses, and that's going to be in Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of ages. With Jesus' help, we can accomplish anything He wants us to do. And that's in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We find Moses quickly coming up with another excuse. What shall I say? This excuse is found in Exodus 3:13. When Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' And what shall I say to them?" Moses knew what should be, that should he go to the children of Israel, there were bound to be questions. Who is the God who sent you to us? Why are we to leave this country we have come to consider our home for over 400 years? Moses expressed inadequate in knowing what to say. And God's response was quick. This you shall say, Exodus 3:14 and 15. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, this ye shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memory in all generations. Sometimes we try to excuse ourselves by saying that our knowledge is inadequate. God has told us what to say. It is really quite simple, and that's in Mark 16, 15, and 16. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now how simple. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, it tells you, moreover, brother, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I have preached to you, unless you believe in vain. And then he gives another excuse. Suppose they will not believe me. This excuse is found in Exodus 4:1. When Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So Now that he knows what to say, he balks at the idea that the people may not listen. What is he afraid of? Failing? Has he already forgotten that God will be with him? God responds by equipping him with several convincing proofs. The rod, which turns into a serpent. And that's in Exodus 4:2-5. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham and Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, his hand was leprosy, like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in the bosom again, and it drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like other flesh. Now the water which will turn to blood when it drops on the dry ground, and that's Exodus 4:9. And it shall be, if they do not believe, even those signs of listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry ground, the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Some hesitate to share the gospel for the same reason. The fear of failure keeps them from trying. But just as God gave Moses convincing proofs, so he has given us the evidence necessary to convince the honest and sincere person, the Word of God, able to produce faith. And it's Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And then in John 20:30-31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but those are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Especially it's evident concerning the resurrection of Christ, truthfully prophecy. With such aids, we cannot justly our actions, inaction in sharing the gospel with others. You would think by now Moses would accept the call, but a fourth excuse is quickly given. And that's, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. This excuse is in Exodus 4:10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, and neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses claimed that he is not an eloquent speaker, but God is not moved by his objective because he already knows the inability of those he calls, and that's in Exodus 4:11. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who has made the mute, the deaf, and the seeing, or the blind? Am I not the Lord? God is able to make up for anyone's shortcoming. Again, promising to be with him, and that's in Moses 12. We read it before. He had even arranged for Aaron to be Moses' mouthpiece. Exodus 4:14-16. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite Leave it to your brother. I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And put the word, and now you shall speak to him, and put the word in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what to say, what you shall do. And so he shall be your spokesman to these people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And he arrived, Exodus 4:27, to be with Moses. And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. And so Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And some Christians try to use this excuse as well. But it did not stop the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1, 3 and 4. "For I demanded not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." And it did not stop others. We have considered four excuses that Moses gave, but as mentioned earlier, they were really a way not to do what God wants. The true reason for all these excuses is revealed in Exodus 4:13. But he said, "O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomsoever you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, I got that wrong. Moses simply did not want to go now that the action is removed. God's impatience with Moses became evident, and his anger was kindled against Moses. I've already read that. Brethren, the same is true with us today. Any and every excuse we can offer is only a way of not acting. We really would rather that God use someone else. We really don't want to do what God has called us to do. But brethren, the anger of the Lord is kindled against those who do not live up to their calling. If we have been making excuses, we need to repent. The conclusion is, with Moses, we know the rest of the story. He answered the call and went to Egypt. With the help of God, he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt bondage. But what about us? What will be the rest of our story? Shall we heed the call to preach the gospel to the lost? Or shall we make excuses and one day suffer the wrath of God? Only time will tell, but I pray that I encourage all not to make excuses. What about the call to obey the gospel of Christ? Are you making excuses for not responding as you know you should? But if you know what you should do, you need to act today. And why are you waiting? Come now as we stand and sing. And the song is 329.